10 to 18. And that is called the demoniac nature. So here Krishna is further describing the activities and mentality and the qualities of those with demoniac nature. Now he's just given a preliminary description in 7, 8, and 9. And now he's going to go deeper into the topic. Text 10. Kamam ashritya duspuram dambhamana madanvitaha mohagrihid vasadgrahan pravartante shuchivrataha. Taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demoniac thus illusioned are always sworn to unclean work, attracted by the impermanent. So, the last verse, Krishna said, alpa buddhaya, that these demoniac persons are not very intelligent. So this verse describes why they're not very intelligent. And the principle here is kamam ashritya, that they have taken shelter of lust. This is his basic principle of life. The Mahatma is Daiva Prakriti Ashrita, and here the demon is the Kama Ashritya. So, taking shelter of different things. And what kind of Kama is this? Dushpuram. It's insatiable, in a feverish pitch of lust. I mean, everybody has a little bit of Kama, right? Even religious men who, to have children, there has to be some lust. But here, this is Dushpuram. We will read something from Srila Prabhupada's lectures before we go further. Yeah. Prabhupada mentions the demoniac mentality described here. The demons have no satiation for their lust. They will go on increasing and increasing their insatiable desires for material enjoyment. So when the kama is dushpuram, that means can never be satisfied. Because puram means satisfied or satisfiable. Or satisfaction. And douche means difficult. So it's difficult to satisfy this kind of feverish lust. Prabhupada writes, Alpa Buddhaya, less intelligent. Why has become less intelligent? That is described in this verse, Kamam Ashritya. His basic principle of life is lusty desire, Ashritya. He has taken shelter of principally lusty desire. Our constitutional position is we have to take shelter of somebody, just like a dog. The dog, if he has no shelter, a good master, he has no position. He is a street dog. He has no food. He has no shelter. He is lean and thin and does not know where to go. The constitutional position of the dog is that it must have a good master, then he's happy. Sometimes it is killed by the municipality. Similarly, our position is dog. We must understand it. We cannot live independently. It is not possible. The demoniac persons have no shelter, therefore they are miserable. Then he describes Dambha Mana Madanvita. As we know, Dambha means ostentation, making a false show. And Mana Madanvita means that he's absorbed in his conceit or pride. So Prabhupada says, these asuras, these rascals, they are simply falsely proud. Just like the same example sample of the dog. The dog is very proud, barking, yow, yow, yow. He does not know that I am chained. And Prabhupada starts laughing. He's such a fool that as soon as the master says, come on, so Maya is the master. You rascal, come here. Yes, we are chained. And any time Maya can pull on the chain and let us know who's the real master. As soon as Maya pulls on the chain, they must follow. They have no reason to be proud. Still, they are proud. Krishna has given sunlight, nice breeze, everything, so you can live, breathe. Everything is dependent. We are dependent. Without light, air, rain, water, how can we live? So we are completely dependent. But on account of false prestige, we are thinking that we are free. I am God. I can do anything. This is demoniac attitude. And he says, why has God made the arrangement of sex? There is need, but not dushpuram. Kamasya nindriya priti. Don't use it for sense gratification. Use it to fulfill the real purpose. So these lusty desires, unless you live a very regulated life, then it will be dushpuram. It will never be fulfilled. Always desire, always desire, always desire. So these demons, they accept the shelter of lusty desire, which will never be fulfilled, never be satiated. But those who are devas, godly, their lusty desire is controlled, restricted. Therefore this varnashram, four varnas, four ashrams. This is education, how to control this lusty desire. The more they try to enjoy, the more they get kicked. The business of human life is how to become free from this material engagement. But the demons, instead of becoming free from material entanglement, they become more and more involved. And then Prabhupada gives an example. When you fly a kite, you use a reel to make it go high. You let the string out. Now, at the same time, when you bring the kite back, you use the same reel or wheel. So he says, so this wheel, the human form of body, is meant not for prolonging the unclean material life, but now stop it. Now stop it. It is meant for that purpose. Therefore, it is said in Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So they are also Asad Grahan is mentioned here in the verse. It means they are accepting things which are temporary or material. And this has different connotations. One is that the person becomes inclined to follow bogus ideologies. And another one is that such people are obstinate, like a crocodile. Because grahan means to grab. So crocodile, it bites you. And it doesn't let go. It bites in and its jaws are very strong. So the materialists, they grab on, they bite on to the sense gratification and they don't let go. So they're like crocodiles. And pravartante shuchi vrataha. So shuchi vrataha means ashuchi, right? The word ashuchi. So it means unclean vows. It means that they behave in some abominable manner. Prabhupada writes, the word asuchi vrataha, unclean vows, is very significant in this connection. Such demoniac people are only attracted by wine, women, gambling, and meat eating. Those are their asuchi, unclean habits. Induced by pride and false prestige, they create some principles of religion which are not approved by the Vedic injunctions. So sometimes this is called Bama Marg, the path of the left hand. Because with the left hand you do everything dirty. So this is Asuchi Vrata. Yeah. Just like they have people, I think, and it's in the not Dharavesh, but one of these upper sampradayas. They're just like hippies, really. Actually, Dharavesh was used by Prabhupada, and he translates it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as hippie. You know, this upper sampradaya, their whole religion is based upon statement of Sanat Goswami when he was released from the jail. When he was talking with the jail keeper, he said, "I will go to Mecca and become a Darvish." So they that is their Mahavakya. They think that this is the most important statement of Sanatan Goswami. And so they began a whole religion on that. So you know, when Sanatan Goswami, when he escaped from the prison and he was going through the forest for about a week without eating, and he was already in jail. So by the time he came to Kashi, you know, he had a beard, he was dirty, and long hair. And Chandrasekhar was asked by Mahaprabhu to go and see the Vaishnava outside, and he opened the door. He said, I only see some, you know, Muslim mendicant. And then Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, yes." And he went out and he embraced Sanat Goswami. Now, you know that picture. That picture is there. So then Prabhupada mentions that he looked like a Darvish. See? So they started a whole religion on this. And these the people, they also wear beards. They're kind of like Babaji's. They're like the Darvish, or like the higher order of the one of the other Umprasampradayas, the mystics. And they smoke hashish and bong and all these things. They have they wear robes and they have Vaishnav tilak, but they have the beads of the Muslim beads, these glass beads. And they, in other words, they're kind of like a mix of all different things. And they go from one mela to another. They have different festivals, and then they, you know, bang on drums and they chant some names of the Lord. But they have these, they bring along with them their sadakis, these yoginis, and in which they practice their illicit romantic activities. It's part of their sadhana. So when they go to the mela, then they just swap or switch the sadakis with their friends, and then they, from there, they go on their way to the next mela, and then they swap sadakis at that place. So it's kind of like the basis of the hippie movement. Without the electric music. But basically the hippies, they do the same thing in America and in the West, like at these rainbow gatherings and so forth. That's what they do. They just go there and they swap girlfriends and they go to the next place. They smoke hashish. And like that. So this is Prabhupada saying that these asuchi vrataha, they've taken some vows which are unclean. And they create some principles of religion which are not approved by the Vedas. So there's many false Upasampradaya groups now. There's Tota Ramdas, before Mahaprabhu, he was the one who designated 13 groups. And Mahaprabhu also dealt with such persons. And later they began to split up into more groups. Now there are hundreds of such groups. There's a Guru Prasadis, that the men, when they get married, they offer their wife to the Guru, and when the Guru enjoys the newly wedded wife, he hands her to the husband as his prasad. So he's called Guru Prasadi. And then there's Shishavilasi. That's a guru that has a lot of young female disciples. And he has illicit sex with them. Sometimes you can see these people, like going, when I go through the airports, I see these men with long saffron robes and long hair. And he has all these young girls following them, and they have saffron on also. And they have their long hair hanging down. And they're very sensual looking, and they're like, following him like this. Sometimes I've seen such people. There's another group that states that one should accept one's mother-in-law as guru. How horrible. And yeah, so many. Huh? Oh, and Orissa also. Like you have Nitai Gaur, Radhesham, Jabahare, Krishna, Hanaram. They're all over now. They're in Vrindavan, they're Orissa. They're at Mahaprabhu's Gambira. Yeah, they run that place. They're right behind our Krishna Balaram Mandir. They began by Charan Das Baba. He started this Nitai Gaur, Radhesham. But in other words, it's an insult to Mahaprabhu because they're saying that that Mahaprabhu didn't give the, you know, proper mantra for kirtan. But they say that Hare Krishna mantra is only meant for japa. So they go on. In Vrindavan, every morning at 7, they used to go, a small group of people from that mutt, and go around chanting, Nitai Gaur Radhesham. Jabba Hare Krishna Hare Ram. Hear them. And there's actually, there's these mutts actually all around there surrounding where I'm staying in Vrindavan also. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a conversation with his Charan Das Baba and convinced him that this was a concoction, it's not proper to chant such mantra. So he defeated him. And then the story goes that 6 months later, this person went crazy and died. But he had some followers that continued, and they were very, very well organized, and they did big, big festivals, and they got a lot of support. So they spread this all around Orissa and in Vrindavan, too. So there's a lot of these upper sampradayas there. So this is something which is being referred to here. I wanted to read something else. And this is an excerpt from a letter of a dying devotee. Oh, this is for the next verse. Okay. Let us read the next verse. Chintam aparimeyam cha pralayantam pashataha. Kama paboga parama etavad iti nischitaha asha pasha shatir badha kama krodha parayanaha ihante kama bhogartam anyanyenarta sanchayan. They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable, bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires and absorbed in lust and anger. They secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. So chintam means anxiety, and aparimeyam means like a bottomless pit or immeasurable. Because when one takes shelter of lust, he has so many desires, and therefore he's in anxiety how to fulfill those desires. And so, their resolution, pralayantam upashataha, their resolve is to drown themselves in the ocean of sense gratification up until the last breath. Pralaya means their destruction, their death, and anta at the end. So they take shelter of these kama ashritya until their last breath. And of course, you've heard the story of the king who was told by his minister that the king asked the minister, when is a man free from his lusty desires? And the minister said, it never happens, even up until his last breath. And the king thought, no, that can't be true. So the minister brought him to the house of a dying man and brought him in the room. He asked him, oh, by the way, bring your young, beautiful princess, your daughter with you. So he brought the princess, and then when they were both there, even though the king was there, even though the head minister was there, even though he was on his deathbed, the old man was staring at the beautiful young princess. So after, when they came out from the room, the minister said, did you notice? And the king said, yes, you're right, up until the last breath. That reminds me when I was in London, a guy was going to someone's house to preach, and I was going out from the subway, and I was walking up this long steps, And coming down, there was a prostitute. I mean, she was a young girl, attractive, you know, in some sense, half naked, you know, the summer, it was in London. She's walking down these stairs, and she walked down, I was walking up, and there was an old man walking down the stairs, maybe 75 or 80 years old. Very slowly he was walking. But when the girl walked past him, he just went, you know, and he almost fell over. He almost fell down the stairs. I thought I might have to catch the guy because he was just staring at the girl, you know, such a way. And his whole body was like this. And he's like going to fall over. Looked like, and I thought, oh, the poor guy, is going to have to catch him, you know. And I was thinking, wow, just like that, you know, that traditional story. And it was like the old man, he was bewildered. So they're kama, pabhoga, parama. They accept that lust and enjoyment is parama, it's supreme. It's the highest goal of life. Eti vat, eti nischitaha. So that is their conviction. That is their conviction. Asha pasha shater badha. Pasha means like rope. And asha means desire. So they have they're bound up, tied up with their ropes of their own desires. Shatayar badha means that hundreds of them have so many desires. So they, with this rope, they hang themselves, just like a man commits suicide. Kama karoda parayana. They're not narayana parayana. They're kama karoda parayana. And they're taking shelter of lust and anger. Ihante kama bhogartam. Ihante means that they endeavor, steal, or become false witness in order to get what they want. Kama paboga kelie. Artam, right? For the purpose of lust and enjoyment. And anya, anyaya means illegal. Right. Nyaya means legal, and anyaya means not legal. Artha means wealth and sunshine they get, right? They accumulate. So they do anything illegal just to get money. Just like Prabhupada tells the story of Ajamil, when he was, as you know, he was a nice young Brahmin man, or boy, young man, and he was walking home. He saw some man embracing some Shudrani on the side of the road, and the woman's breasts were visible. So that samskar went very deep into his heart. And then even though he went home to his good wife and children, he was not able to give up this. He was not able to forget this Shudrani. So then he hired her as maidservant in his home with the plan to enjoy with her, which he did. And then gradually he became so mad after this woman that he left his religious wife and his children, and he just went off with this woman. And this woman was demanding so much money from him. And as you know, Brahmins, they usually have no money. So, you know, he had to become like a con man. And he went onto the streets, dressed in very expensive clothes, and he had his cohort, con man, with him. Cohort means like his friend, his associate, in a negative sense. So they went out onto the streets, and then Ajamil, he started looking feverishly on the ground. Oh, alas, alas, where is it? Where is it? I'm lost. And he would be like this, and then gradually some person would come, and some kind gentleman would say, oh, my dear brother, what have you lost? How can I help you? So I've lost my diamond ring that I purchased for 5 lakhs of rupees. I was planning to give this to my wife, and now I've lost it. Can I find it? Please help me, brother. I said, yes, I'll help you. And then he starts looking around. And then Jamil's cohort, psst, hey, buddy, come here. I need some money quick. I have this diamond ring. I'll sell it to you. And the man says, what? How much? Did you have a diamond ring? He says, oh, this must be the diamond ring. How much is it? I'll sell it to you for 2 lakhs of rupees. And then he said, 5 lakhs minus 2, that's 3. He says, all right, I'll buy it. And he takes out the money, pays him, and he says, oh, I have the ring. He turns around, where is that man? He's gone. Jamil's gone. And then he turns and looks for the other man, and he's also gone. So then he brings this ring to the jeweler, and the jeweler tells him, it is just glass. You've been cheated. So Prabhupada told this story. Jamil was doing this. He was a con man. And he was cheating people on the street to get money for this prostitute. And he was a brahmana. So this is one example of this. Such persons who's controlled, kama krodha parayana, controlled by lust, and he does anything, taking any illegal means to get his money. Text 13, up to 15. So now Krishna describes further the activities and mentality of one with demoniac tendency. Idam adya maya labdham imam prapsye manuratham idam astidam api me bhavishyati punardhanam asau maya hata shatrur hanishye chaparanapi ishvroham aham bhogi siddoham bhalavan sukhi adyo bhijanavanasmi konyosti sadrasho maya Yakshe dasyami modishya ityagyana vimohidaha. The demoniac person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I am the richest man, surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give some charity, and thus I shall rejoice. In this way, such persons are deluded by ignorance. So, Maya Labdham means, I've got it, it's mine. Prapsye Manoratam means, I'll get more according to my desire. Bhavishyati punardhanam. In the future, I will get more money. So, a person is either meditating on increasing his money or increasing his bhakti. Well, you have to meditate on increasing something. Here, the commentators have described some extracurricular discussion between this demon and some innocent bystander who's asking him questions. If someone says, you are becoming victorious by the Lord's will, then the demon says, what? How dare you say? I am Ishvara. And how are you Ishvara? Because I am bhogi, I am the enjoyer, I am perfect and powerful. If you will search for God other than me, you will not find anyone else. If someone asks, why are you the only Ishvara? And he answers, I am rich, wealthy, and I have aristocratic family members. Give up your foolish arguments. Who can compete with me? I will perform sacrifices by my own power, and I will enjoy with the apsaras. I will perform sacrifices by my own power and go to heaven, and I will enjoy with the apsaras there. I will go to heaven and kiss them and enjoy passionately. ha, 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 ha. Prabhupada also comments, yes. So many things, the same thing. Well, the same points I've made. He talks about someone has to be hankering, feeling separation like from something. You have to be hankering for something. The demon's hankering for money and sex. And he says that the gopis in Vrindavan are hankering for Krishna. Where is Krishna? How can we meet with Krishna? And he talks about this in one class when he speaks on this verse. He says, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam ba jagadish kamei. These are the bhakti path. The demon is thinking, I've got so much money. I've got so many friends and relatives and family members. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is denying, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. But here, just the opposite. Mahaprabhu says, just the opposite. I don't want any material friends or followers. Neither I want money. Simply I want to serve you. So these are the demoniac propensities. And the very thing can be changed into devotional service, and then we become devotee or demigod. 16. Anika chitta vibranta moha jala samavritaha prasakta kama bhogeshu patantya narakeshu cha. Thus perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions, they become too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and fall down into hell. So again, they have citta. They're perplexed by so many anxieties. And here, mohajal means like a net. They're caught or surrounded by this net of desires and anxieties. Prabhupada writes in the end of the commentary, here mohajal is very significant. Jal means net, like a fish in a net. They have no way to come out. Prasakta kama bhogeshu means they're super attached to kama and bhoga. And thus, patanti narake shuchao. They fall down into a very dirty hell. Right? Naraka means the place where people cry, or the place of torment. Naraka. And there are many different kinds of hell, but one of the most dirtiest one is the Vaitarani, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions. So in the fifth canto, chapter 26, text 24, the Vaitarani is described as follows. A person who is born into a responsible family, such as a Kshatriya, a member of royalty, or a government servant, but who neglects to execute his prescribed duties according to religious principles and who thus becomes degraded, falls down at the time of death into the river of hell, known as Vaitarani. This river, which is a moat surrounding hell, is full of ferocious aquatic animals. When a sinful man is thrown into the river Vaitarani, the aquatic animals there immediately begin to eat him. But because of his extremely sinful life, he does not leave his body. He constantly remembers his sinful activities and suffers terribly in that river, which is full of stool, urine, pus, blood, hair, nails, bones, marrow, flesh, and fat. So it's a very dirty place. Prabhupada comments in his purport some of the psychology of the demon. He believes in his own strength, and he does not know that whatever he is gaining is due to his past good deeds. Right? In the last verse it said, Balavan Sukhi. Right? So Prabhupada's echoing the previous verse, how the person thinks he's so powerful and perfect. So he thinks that whatever he has is due to his own strength, not to his past good deeds. So here, it was someone asked yesterday, the demons can perform some good deeds, something in their past life, and they may get some wealth or power because of that. So here this is confirmed. And he says, and he simply thinks that all his massive wealth is due to his own endeavor. A demoniac person believes in the strength of his personal work, not in the law of karma. According to the law of karma, a man takes his birth in a high family or becomes rich or very well educated or very beautiful because of good work in the past. The demoniac think that all these things are accidental and due to the strength of one's personal ability. They do not sense any arrangement behind all the varieties of people, beauty, and education. Then he says, he's written, each demoniac person thinks he can live at the sacrifice of all others. Generally, a demoniac person thinks of himself as the supreme God, and a demoniac preacher tells his followers, why are you seeking God elsewhere? You are all yourselves God. Whatever you like, you can do. Don't believe in God. Throw God away. God is dead. These are the demoniac's preachings. It seems like this commentary is kind of reaching back into other verses, because some of the points are not really in here. And he gives an example of Ravana also, who he wanted to make a staircase to Svarga. By his own strength, not by being pious. This is the classic example of the demoniac mentality. 17. Atma sambhavita stabdha dhana mana madanvitaha yajante nama yagyaistai dambhena viripurvakam. Self-complacent and always impudent, deluded by wealth and false prestige, they sometimes proudly perform sacrifices in name only, without following any rules or regulations. So atma sambhavita means that I am worshipable. And therefore, they are not humble, but they are stabdha, or impudent. So they become impudent because of atma-sambhavita. And dana, mana, madanvitaha. Because of their wealth, they become very proud. It's like in the West, money is everything. If one has money, he's considered very high class. And Prabhupada mentioned that in reference to John Lennon, when he was staying at their estate in England. John Lennon actually invited Prabhupada to stay there. And one night he invited Prabhupada to come into his room and listen to some music that he had just recorded called Cold Turkey. It's a record with Yoko Ono screaming at the top of her lungs. And it's very horrible music. I don't know if you ever heard it, but it's... That was John Lennon. He invited Prabhupada and said, I would like to play this music for you. I'd like to know what you think of it. So he had this reel-to-reel tape recorder, you know, by the window. And he went over to turn it on, but he tried again and again and again. He couldn't turn it on. The thing was somehow broken. And he said, damn it. He cursed under his breath, and he kept trying to... Prabhupada looked, and he saw that he couldn't turn it on. So Prabhupada said, I have also made a recording. And he said, Shamasundar, he said, I'll play my recording for you. I have also a tape player. So he brought in the machine, and then Prabhupada played his, you know, music for John Lennon. But the point that I wanted to make was that in that room, there was a big photo of John Lennon and Yoko Ono completely naked. So Prabhupada, you know, was disgusted by that. And he thought, just see, such a big person. People, you know, the reporters are coming to him and they're asking him. So many big people are coming to him and asking him for advice and so forth. And here he is standing completely naked with his wife, like a dog. You know, how disgusting. And so Prabhupada said that He's a big man. He gives opinion to the newspaper reporter. People go and take his opinion about serious subject, and he speaks. And the man is so shameless that he is standing naked. And he's an important man because he has got money. Especially in the Western countries, this is very prominent. If you have got money, then you have got everything. Therefore, they are after money only. They think, if somehow or other I get money, then I get everything. I get respect. I get honor. I get everything. Bring money, somehow or other. Bring money. This is in a conversation in New Vrindavan, 1976. So, Baladeva Vidyabhushan says, he wants big titles and Mahapuja. They perform sacrifices to cheat others. They concoct processes of religion. They concoct deities and mantras. They try to impress others and collect wealth. So here the word Nama Yajna does not mean to chant the holy name, but it means a yajna in name only. A false yajna. So Dambhena Avidipurvaka, because of their pride and false show, therefore they do not follow any proper rules and regulations. Okay. Text 18. Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodam cha sanshitaha mam atma paradeheshu pradvishanto myasu yakaha. Bewildered by false ego, strength, pride, lust, and anger, the demons become envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in their own bodies and in the bodies of others. And they blaspheme against the real religion. So again, these very bad qualities. This is actually describing the results of their mentality. Ahankaram, proud, balam darpam, they're proud of their strength. Balam means, I am strong, no one dare defy me, I will smash them. So this means they become angry. Kamam krodam cha sangshitaha. So this anger is meant to do harm, not to do good. The guru's anger is to do good when he's chastising his disciple. So that is not counted here in this word krodha. And the word abhyasuyaka, that they're envious. This is, I think, the main point in this verse. It means that to see the good qualities of sadhus as false, or in those who worship the Lord. And it means, Vishnu Chakravarti says, they envy me by disregarding me. And he says that their envy takes the form of being unable to tolerate another devotee's advancement and seeing only faults despite many good qualities. Atma means the self, para means others, and deheshu means in their bodies. So that's the general meaning. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has described another meaning. His definition is, in the bodies of the atma para sadhus, those who have taken, who have realized the paramatma, those who are atma para, like mat para. Right? So they've understood that the Lord is in everyone's heart. And so the demons are envious of the Lord who is in the heart of the sadhus. Baladeva Vidyabhushan writes, they envy me as well as the Vedic literature. They are envious and use improper logic to find fault with the Vedas and with myself. So now their fate is described in the next verse. Oh, yeah, this is
Yeah.
The next section. Last part of the chapter. So this verse describes it, the fate of these demons. Tanaham dvishata kruran sangsareshu naradaman kshipam ajasram ashubhan asorish yeva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. So he's talking about the envious persons, as was described in the last verse, which is the demoniac, which has been described throughout this chapter. Kshipami means I throw. Krishna throws them. Ajasram, forever, into the Ashubhan Yoni, the inauspicious wombs of the Asuris. And he says, Eva, Asurish Yeva Yonishu. So here the word Eva means definitely, that they have no hope or no chance to get out from that. Read commentaries. Yeah. Baladeva Vidyabhushan has written, from this demoniac nature they will never become free. I throw them into demonic, violent species with unlimited material desires, and thus they act in those species according to their nature, and thus by their reactions to their envious deeds they go to hell. Prabhupada writes here that, therefore, in the material existence, we find so many species of life, animals, insects, men, and so on, as all are arranged by the superior power. They are not accidental. As for the demoniac, it is clearly said here that they are perpetually put into the wombs of demons, and thus they continue to be envious, the lowest of mankind. Such demoniac species of men are held to be always full of lust, always violent and hateful, and always unclean. The many kinds of hunters in the jungle are considered to belong to the demoniac species of life. So those are some of the lowest kind of people, humans on the planet, and hunters in the jungle. So Arjuna asks, is there any chance that these people, after many births, will become purified and thus freed? Isn't there any hope? So then Krishna speaks the next verse. Again, the word Eva gives the answer. Asurim yonim apana mudha janmani janmani mama prapyeva konteya tato yantyadamam gatim. Attaining repeated birth among the species of demoniac life, O son of Kunti, such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. So Krishna's answering, after misusing the human birth, these foolish people take animal births and can't get out. So here Eva means they have no hope, no chance. And then Arjuna says, but Lord, you are Satya Sankalpa. Whatever you desire becomes a reality. You can do it. And he says, yes, it's possible for me to do that, but I won't, because there's no seed for this desire within me. Because they're envious. And they actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has described that mam aprapyaiva, they don't achieve me or attain me. For example, when I appear as Krishna, demonic people like Kamsa, I still give them liberation, but I am not happy that they only gain liberation and yet don't attain me. But they don't want that. They don't want me. See? So because they don't want Krishna, therefore Krishna doesn't have any desire to change the situation to interfere with their minute independence. Therefore, in the Gita-mṛta, I said there's no desire in them for this. There's no seed of desire in them. So actually, I changed Baladeva Vibhushan's statement based on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment, because I thought it might be a little bit too difficult for ordinary people, and they listen to that, then they would think that, oh, Krishna's not so merciful after all. But actually, Krishna also delivers the demons if they're lucky enough to be killed by them. And just as we saw with Kamsa and Agasura and Shishupal and so on and so forth. And the other avatars, when they kill, like Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and Ravana and Kumbhakarna, they become, you know, like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they took birth as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, so they took birth in a very aristocratic, wealthy family. Although they were Rakshasas, but they were like, he was the king of the Rakshasas. And he also was well-versed in the Vedas, performed yajñas, was doing puja for Mahadev, and like this. So, but it's just that he was still envious of Krishna, and at least playing the role of such a demon. And it was that envy that didn't allow him to actually attain Krishna consciousness, or to attain a higher goal, or the highest goal. But when Krishna killed them, then finally they just merged into him. They attained the result of what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the result of Jnana Mishra Bhakti, or Sayuja Mukti. Those jnanis who have a little bhakti mixed in, they go to the Brahma Jyoti. So, but Krishna says, so I give that. And he says, I'm not happy that I give only that. I want them to attain me, but what can I do? They don't want that. So I just give them suyuja. So he just reciprocates with the demons according to what they want. So that's why I made a slight adjustment. Since Gita-mṛta was like for, you know, kind of popular distribution, I wanted to incorporate the Siddhanta in a simple way without having to explain all these points, you know, which I couldn't have done. But anyway, that's our philosophy. Here Prabhupada also confirms this whole thing here. He says, it is known that God is all-merciful, but here we find that God is never merciful to the demoniac. It is clearly stated that the demoniac people, life after life, are put in the wombs of similar demons, and not achieving the mercy of the Supreme Lord, they go down and down, so that at last they achieve bodies like those of cats and dogs and hogs. It is clearly stated that such demons have practically no chance of receiving the mercy of God at any stage of later life. This is the word Eva, means no hope. So then Baladeva Vibhushan continues, and he says, it's clearly established here that atheists are hellish people. He says there's two types of demons. One is a demon, plain demon. And the second is demons that have no chance. And he says, the first one is a demon who by mistake or curse attained demoniac nature and thus kind of opposed Krishna or envied Krishna. It's like Vitrasura or such other persons. Or maybe Jayant Vijay. There's some examples of persons who are Chitraketu. Chitraketu was a devotee, but he ended up as an asura. And he says that such people still have faith in the Vedas and the impersonal feature. Such people, when killed by an incarnation, are purified from their asuric tendencies. This is due to their faith in the Vedas. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura mentions, this point is confirmed in a shloka from the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which says that as long as those who envy Krishna do not attain him, They remain in a degraded species of life. This is very clear. Prabhupada also quotes Vedanta Sutra, but he doesn't quote the Sanskrit here. So then Arjuna says, oh, there are so many demonic qualities. How can I give them all up? Krishna says, just give up these three, Arjuna. Kama, Krodha, and Lobha. There are so many demonic qualities. How can I give them up? Just give up these three. They're the root of all of the rest. Chividam narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanah kama krodhas tata lobhas tesmat etantrayam tyajyed. There are three gates leading to this hell: lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. So, Baladeva Vidyabhushan has written that after hearing the previous verse, people are going to want to give up these qualities. But what can they do to accomplish this? And here is described, give up these three gates. So, kama always comes first in the list, if you've noticed. Right? Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, and matsarya. So they come in order. So kama is the root of all of them. So if you can conquer kama, that means you can conquer all of them. When the kama is checked somehow or other, then it becomes krodha, or anger, because the person becomes angry. But if it's unchecked, then it skips over krodha and goes to lobha. Right? If it's unchecked, then it becomes lobha. Right? And then from lobha, then moha, illusion, pride, and finally envy. Like this. So envy is considered a mixture of all of the other five. It's like all rolled up into one ball. And that's why envy is a very difficult one to deal with, because it's the combination of lust, anger, greed, illusion, and pride. You can see how Shishupal had all of these qualities because he was envious of Krishna. Shishupal is the prime example. He is the personification of envy. You know, Shishupal was born with three eyes and four arms, and he looked horrible. And his mother just went to throw him in the river. She was disgusted. But there was a voice from the sky, stop! Don't throw him in the river. You keep him. And when that person who will kill him first sees him, these third eye and extra arms will go away. He'll become a normal child. So she had this hope. So she kept baby Shishupal and fed him her breast milk, you know. And so he grew. And then one day Krishna came to his house. Because they were relatives, actually. I think it was his cousin, if I remember correctly. So Krishna came to see his new cousin, you know. And suddenly the third eye and the arms just disappeared. So the mother was simultaneously relieved and also felt some fear and anxiety that, oh my God, here's the person that's going to kill my child when he's later in life. So she offered her obeisances and she started crying and begging Krishna for mercy. That please, please, spare my child. Be merciful to him. So then Krishna said, all right, I'll be merciful. I'll tolerate 100 insults from your son. And then she thought, oh, all right, very good. So at the time of the Rajasuya Yagya of Maharishi Yudhisthira, Krishna was sitting on the throne and Shishupal was, you know, blaspheming, you know, and he was saying so many things. And you're just a cowherd. Nobody knows what caste you're from. You killed your own uncle and you did so many things. And you, how could anyone worship you? And Krishna was just sitting there counting 96, 97. 98, 99. So then took out his chakra. 100. And Shishupal was. And Krishna went. And the chakra came. And it came right to his neck. And it then he thought, oh, he's God. He's actually. I surrender. Oh. Too late. This is exactly what happened. So then his soul left the body, and everyone saw this. It went right into Krishna's body. You know, the Pandavas were standing on the side, and Bhima was like, "Let me at him." He said, "No, cool down. Just stay there. Just stay there." And Arjuna had his hand on the Gandiva, you know, and he says, "I'll kill him." Yudhisthira and say, "No, stop, just wait. You'll ruin the atmosphere of the yagya." You know. So in this way, everything has manifested. Shishupal was killed and he achieved liberation. Oh, my goodness. Let's just take a pause for a minute.